faith in a pandemic. So Genesis chapter 1, starting right at the beginning. So if you're starting a new Bible reading plan this year, well, we're going to cover chapter 1 for you right here in church today. It's like a bonus. You get a sermon and cover Bible reading at the same time. So let's read together Genesis 1, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Verse 20, "Then God said, 'Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens.' And so God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind.' And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. You can be seated. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Father, we thank you for giving us just a crystal clear account of where all things have come from. They've come from you. You are the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord, we bow before you today, as is fitting, because you are the Lord of all creation. You are the King of kings. Above all the things that happen here on the earth, you reign. Lord, we know from your word that even Satan is limited by your directions. There is nothing outside of your power and your control and your plan. And God, for this we give you thanks. We pray that you'd help us as we look at this book of beginnings today. Help us to focus our hearts on you, that we may begin this new year with a focus on our eternal God. Days and months go by, years come and go, disasters come and go, and yet you are the eternal God that reigns before, during, and after all things. And so God, we praise you today. We pray that you would help us to put our trust in you, that when difficulties come, we would not forget, Lord, that you were here before all these things. And you have the power to work all these things together for good, for your purposes, for your glory. And we praise you for that, God. We ask that you would be with those who are struggling today, that you might comfort them. Lord, we pray for those who are watching online, and we ask that you would use your word in their lives, Lord, and strengthen them today. We pray for those who are suffering and grieving. We ask for your comfort, your mercy. Lord, we pray you'd fill their hearts with the hope that comes through believing in your words. Lord, we pray that each of us today might turn our hearts and our minds towards you. And Lord, we might be strengthened and helped through knowing you. And God, I pray that you might use this message in our hearts for your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the start of a new year is always a time for reflection, isn't it? It's a time when you look back over the past year and think about how things went and maybe dream a little bit about how you want them to go this year. If you could go back to your 2020 plans and consider them now, I would guess that most of you would find things did not go according to plan. Lots of things were turned over this year and changed around from anything we might hope to happen. And with this new year dawning, I think most people want 2020 to be left behind. And yet there's still anxiety about what comes in 2021. Because everything really hasn't changed with the turning of the calendar. There's still a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that could cause people to be afraid or to be angry about what's going on in the world today. But as the world shifts and turns around us, as Christians, we have something that the world doesn't have. We have a faith in a God who made all things. And what I want most of all for you, I want you to look at the world through this lens of the God who made it all. As we revisit things in our life this year, I want us to revisit faith during this time. Revisit our confidence, where it comes from, how it changes the way we look at the things that go on today. And so in the next several weeks, we are going to go through the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, there's no pandemic in Genesis 1 through 5, but there is a firm foundation for everything we may face. Whatever comes in this year, it may turn out to have more unexpected things. This coming year may turn out to be more chaotic and disruptive than any year we've experienced so far. How can we face that? Well, the only way we can face it with confidence is if we put our trust in God and what He's doing. And I don't know a better place to go in the Bible than to see our great and mighty God and what He's doing in the world than these early chapters of Genesis. Nothing about our present circumstances catches God by surprise. He rules and reigns before this year, before our lifetimes, before our earth. He rules and reigns. And I pray this would give us some great hope and great comfort this year. I want Genesis 1 today to guide us in thinking about our Creator, thinking about His power over all things, thinking about His pre-existence, that He is eternal, and considering His purpose. So let's look at these things today and ask God to fix them firmly in our hearts and minds so that we can know the truth about God and then know the stability that comes through that, so that we can know God and know the peace that comes from God. So first thing I want you to see is that God is pre-existent. Right here in Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God's pre-existent, meaning before anything else existed, He existed. It's another way of saying God is eternal. He never had a beginning. In this very first verse of the Bible, we see that we have a beginning, and yet God does not. What do they tell us about, what do these words tell us about creation and about our God? Well, they tell us He was before anything. He created. And creation, all that we see, owes itself not to random chance, but it owes itself to God creating it. There are not impersonal forces at work that made everything just randomly happen. The Bible tells us without a doubt that God is the creator. This happened in the beginning. God is the one who created time itself. He is eternal before time. God created the heavens and the earth. Everything owes its existence to God. I love the way the Bible just starts right off with this assertion. Right at the beginning, what do we need to know about God? Well, God doesn't make some kind of argument that He's really here and that we should pay attention to Him. No, He just asserts He is the Creator. He is the one who made everything. He is over it all. We shouldn't be embarrassed to assert the same thing. We don't have to make it seem like it's okay to believe in God, that we're trying to convince others that this is really a reasonable way to look at the world. And we don't have to make apologies for our faith in the sense that we're trying to make it seem okay. God is not embarrassed to assert right at the beginning, He made everything. Everything was created by Him. He boldly talks about this doctrine of creation. And if we want to face the most pressing questions of life, we need to face them with the same confidence that we serve the God who made all things, the God who is before everything. Isn't it wonderful when you face something difficult to have someone else that you trust that's faced it before? You know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a health crisis or whether it's something going on with your family or whether it's just how to fix something around your house or car. If you have someone you trust who's walked that road before, and it's encouraging because they can kind of guide you. They can give you some tips and pointers. They can help you avoid some of the problems that come along. What does it mean that God is pre-existent? Well, it means that before any of these problems we face in our lifetimes ever happened, God was there. You know, the things that we face we think are so unique to us, but they're not unique at all. Have we had plagues in our world before? We've had plagues far worse than what we're experiencing now before. And guess who was there? God was there. Guess who else was there? God's people who didn't know what to do or how to respond. But you know what they could do? They could look to the God who was pre-existent, the God who was eternal, the God who was here before, the God who was working even in all these things for for our good and for his glory. So when you face a circumstance that is new to you or that is scary to you or that might bring fear to you, just remember, you serve a God who's been here before all this. A God who is bigger than these problems. A God who exists before anything else did. Genesis 1 clearly asserts that God is the source of everything. And it's not just here. The New Testament says the same thing. John 1 and verse 3 says, through him, that is Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Revelation 4:11 says, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. In the book of Acts, the apostles for Acts 4 and 24 speaks of God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God is the source of all creation, the creation of everything around us. The visible things that we see, the invisible, the angels, the realm of heaven and hell, God created everything. In Nehemiah 9 and verse number 6, Ezra prays these words. He says, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made the heaven of heavens, and all their host. All the angels, all of creation has been made by God. That means also that all of creation is not outside of his control. He is the maker of everything, and he is the Lord of everything. It's his right as the creator to be in charge. We see it even in the book of Job. You know the very familiar story of Job's sufferings, how the devil attacked Job over and over. But what does the devil do in Job's story? He has to get permission from God before he can bring affliction on Job. What does that tell us about God's lordship over all things? He's Lord even over the devil. The devil is limited in what he can do based on God's authority. So that means since God is the pre-existent God and he has control of all things, that we know whatever bad things are allowed to happen, they're not allowed to happen because God lost control and he's not sure how it's going to turn out. Or because he forgot to pay attention. We know that they're allowed by God for purposes that we may not understand, but we can be confident he is working even in those things for our good and for his glory. If we know God as the one who's pre-existent, the source of all things, it gives us great confidence that whatever we face, we have a sovereign creator, a king of kings, a lord of lords, who all creation must answer to. God is over all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega. As Lee prayed earlier, he's the one that was and that is and that is to come. He is the king of all creation. So Genesis 1 just plainly asserts God is the source of everything. He's the eternal God. And I pray that you might not just know that, but you might meditate on it. For me to tell you this morning God created everything didn't shock any of you. None of you were like, whoa, Pastor is giving us such deep truths today. I never heard this before. Where did this come from? You know the Bible says God created everything. You know it says he's before everything. But when you face things that cause you to fear, could I beg you to turn back to what you know and know that God made everything. He is Lord over everything. He is in charge of everything. You can trust him. You can depend on him. Now, I can't say that you can understand him always. I can't say that you can know what he's up to always. But you can see that God is before it all and over it all, and you can trust him. I want to go through verses 2 through 25 here. I'm not going to go in detail through all these verses, but I think what you can see very clearly in these verses is that God is powerful. All right, another newsflash, right? You didn't know that one either. But verse 2 through 25 describe God creating all of the world in 6 days. In 6 days, from beginning to end, God is making the world. We see his power because he creates from nothing, out of nothing. It says, in the beginning, God created. God created without pre-existing materials. And when you think about how things are made, we always make things from other things. We may make something really amazing and beautiful or very technical and complicated, but whatever we create as humans, we are merely forming things that God has created. God is unique in that he makes stuff out of nothing. Not even out of thin air. There wasn't even air. He makes it out of nothing at all. That's how powerful your God is. You know, sometimes when we face difficult things, we don't see a way forward. We don't know how we're going to make it. It brings a lot of joy to me to know that God makes things out of nothing. You know, there doesn't need to be something I can see how this can work. If I serve a God who created the entire universe out of nothing, it gives me great courage when I think about the things I need to do and I look at myself and I say, I don't have the ability, or I don't have the wisdom, or I don't have the strength. I have a God who created everything out of nothing. Surely he can take something and do something with it. He can take me, he can take you, he can use us, because our God is that powerful. Listen to what the Word of God has to say about creating the universe out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It was all put together by God's Word. Then it goes on to say, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. Well, you can see that God is made as something he's made out of nothing. Romans 4:17, speaking of Abraham, he says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Psalm 33:6-9 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God spoke the world into existence. That ought to just leave you in shock. It ought to leave you in awe of God. If it doesn't, If it doesn't, I beg you to think about it again. You know, if I want to make a sandcastle, then I need some sand, and I need some water, and I need some tools to shape it. And yet God could make the sun and the moon with no tools, with no sand, with no whatever the sun's made of. He could do it by speaking it into existence. God is powerful. Why should we need to be afraid? Why should we tremble with uncertainty when we serve a God who is before everything, who's above everything, and who has power over everything? He spoke the world into existence. Psalm 90 in verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." If you look in Genesis 1 again, look at verse number 3. It says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." Just that easy. Verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." The end of verse 7 says, "And it was so." Verse 9 says, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together." The end of the verse, "And it was so." Verse 11, "Then God said," and the end of verse 11, "And it was so." Verse 14, "Then God said," the end of verse 15, "And it was so." And on through the days of creation. God spoke the world into existence. Consider that for a minute. The picture of creation is not God sweating, laboring, figuring out how to make the world. It's of Him simply speaking. It's not that the Trinity is off having some kind of brainstorming session on how they're going to make all this work. And maybe we'll try this. Oh, that didn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board and let's try again how we can make all this intricate system of the world work together. It's not that at all. It's just a matter of speaking. Just saying it, and it's done. God isn't even, in these verses, giving us a detailed explanation of everything and how it all works, because none of that was necessary for Him to make it. It was enough for God to know what He wanted to do and to speak the word, and it was created. That's pretty amazing. You know, when we speak, our words just trail right off in the air, right? I speak all the time, and I would guess that out of the last year, you remember maybe a handful of messages. I'm being hopeful here. You remember maybe a handful of messages that I preached to you. And we speak to our kids, and sometimes we wonder if our words even make sounds. You know, they just kind of go right on through, and nothing happens. How many times has my wife said something to me, and I had to look up and say, "What did you just say?" Because I had no idea. Or I just nod, like, yeah. You know, like I think I know what she said, but I really don't. You know, our words do that. Sometimes they have no effect at all, it seems. But God's words are not like that. God speaks, and the worlds were formed. It's why you desperately need to read God's words. It's why you desperately need to think about what God has said. Romans 10:17 says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What will bring life to you? Jesus said the words that He spoke, they were spirit and they are life. It's the word of God that brings spiritual life to you. It's the word of God that brings hope to you. It's God's words that have the power to create new life. To make you be born again by the word of God. It's God's words that will give you strength each day. When you can't see how you can go forward, you have a powerful God who's spoken in His word, and His words give life. Don't neglect His truth or His promises. The word of God is powerful. It creates. It's effective. It made the world. It holds the world together. God's word is powerful and it's perfect. It creates exactly what he wants to be created. So our God is pre-existent. Before anything that happened around us, there is God. And our God is powerful. More powerful than you can imagine. He's bigger than you know. He's bigger than you think. However great and mighty you can imagine God, just know that he's greater and mightier than that. Would you let these truths sink into your heart? Not just be things, oh yeah, I know that. God made everything. God's powerful. Think about it in relation to what's going on in your life right now. How differently would you think about your present situation if you had in the forefront of your mind, my God was before all this, he's over all this, and he has the power to accomplish anything he wants. In fact, he is going to accomplish through these things what he wants. What should we do in light of that? We should trust in him. We should trust in him. We should bring him our fears. We should bring him our hopes, our dreams, our goals, our plans. Because we serve a God who's so great. He makes the heavens and the earth. And in these verses, it describes it as being done in 6 days. Throughout the chapter, he refers to it being evening and morning. He's referring to solar days here, 24-hour days. If you're interested in understanding how the Bible's account fits in with maybe what you were taught in school in science about how the world came to be, let me just say it plainly. It doesn't really fit in. The world, according to Scripture, did not evolve. The world, according to Scripture, was not moved along just by random chance. What does Scripture say plainly? God made it. He made it the way it is. As we continue reading and we get to chapter 2 of Genesis, we find Adam and Eve in the garden, in a perfect, mature, complete world created by God, where he says, in verse number 31 of chapter 1, after he's done making everything, it is very good. It's very good. That's not the appropriate term to use after billions of years of suffering and death and mutations to say, oh, it's very good finally. But it's very appropriate to say when God, by his mighty power, speaks the world into existence and he's done, and he says it's perfect. It's very good. There's a number of organizations that have devoted themselves to looking at the scientific evidence of the world and showing that that evidence does not support the concept of evolution, but it supports the Scripture's teaching of creation. One of those is Answers in Genesis. So if you are curious about creation and evolution, I'd encourage you to go online, look up Answers in Genesis. Actually, we have a couple of books in the bookstore that also relate to these topics. I want to just say clearly that what God says is true. And he made the world. He made it in 6 days. We can trust in him in that. I want us to look at the last few verses of chapter 1 here before we're done. If you would turn your attention to verse 26. I want you to see finally today that God is purposeful. Everything God is doing in creation, he's doing for a purpose. Now, if you look at verse 26, again it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, just a quick word there. You notice God says, let us make. Who's making with God? Well, if you go back to verse number 2 of this same chapter, we have the Spirit of God mentioned. So we've got God in verse 1. We've got the Spirit of God mentioned in verse number 2. And then the New Testament, we're told, a verse I read earlier, John 1:3, that the Son is involved. What we have in the Old Testament is we have hints of the reality that we have one God, but there is a triunity in God. There is one God that exists in three eternally perfect and equal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And what we have in Genesis 1:26 is the second hint that there is a unity and yet a diversity in God. The first hint was back in verse 2, where it talks about the Spirit of God. So when it says, let us make God in our image, this is the Trinity speaking. This is our God who is the triune God, is saying he's going to make man in his image. So God makes Adam, and then chapter 2 describes how he made Eve, and we'll look at that next week. But God made Adam and Eve unique. And they are unique in what it says in verse 26, that they're made in God's image. Nothing in creation so far has he said he made in his image. Not the animals, not the apes, not the animals that are closest in appearance to humans. But he says he's going to make man in his image. We are God's image in several different ways. In our essence, or in our nature, man is unique in that he is intellectual, he's moral, he's spiritual. This is something unique about man. You've never gone to the zoo and seen a bunch of beavers cutting down trees and shaping them into the images of other beavers and bowing to worship them. You'll never see that among the animal kingdom, because God has made man unique in his image. But you can find man in all different places in history, in all different locations, and you will always find worshipers. They'll be worshiping the true God, or they'll be worshiping idols, they'll be worshiping other things, but man has this unique part of him that is spiritual and that is worshipful. This is who we are, uniquely made by God. Second way that we're in God's image is we're meant to rule over creation in God's image. God is the ruler of all, yes, but he put man on earth and he's said to have dominion over the earth. He's given this place to stand and function as God. Not as tyrants that destroy other things, but as stewards who in Genesis 2:15 says we are to tend and to keep God's creation. So we're to exercise authority over what was made and declared to be good for God. In that sense, we are to image God. We're to represent God. And the third way we represent God or image God is in our relationships. God made us to have relationships. The Trinity, the triune God, is relational. And there is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There is communion between them. And we are intended to commune together as well. And that's one reason God established the church. And this is to be a communion of people that know Christ and that want to make him known. That we help one another, that we relate together. And we need to do everything that we can to do that in sickness or in health, right? In good times or in bad times, to work together, to be together. You know, practically, because we're made in God's image, it makes all human life sacred. It has value. You know, we're not like animals. If someone doesn't function well, we don't put them down. God has made us uniquely in his image. You know, at a time when we have all these troubles, it seems like, in our world, and then all the conflict that comes because of different opinions about them, it'd be good for us to remember that the people who disagree with us about COVID are people made in God's image. The people who disagree with us about politics are people made in God's image. Don't look at them as someone distant and stupid because they disagree with you. Look at them as a fellow human being, made in the image of God, made to know Him, that you were made to love and to help lead them towards the Lord. Our goal is to bring glory to God because God has made us for this purpose. Everything God made in the world, He made on purpose. He made it very good. We'll see very quickly in Genesis what happens when man gets loose in God's perfect world. It quickly becomes imperfect because man sins and leads to all kinds of troubles. But you can see about God right here in Genesis 1 that His purposes are good. We may not always understand His ways, but we can see clearly His plans are good. Because every day He sees it and He says, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. He gets everything all done. He says, it's very good. God has good purposes. We look at the world and we see beauty. We see abundance of what we need. You know, creation teaches us that our God is wonderfully good. We look at the stars or the sunsets. We look at the beauty of the snow on the mountains and we say our God is not stingy. He's not tight-fisted. He's good and He's generous and He shows us and gives us good things all the time. Why did God make all these things? Why does God do all the things that He does? There's one purpose. Psalm 19 states, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of God. Of His hands." Lee was quoting some earlier from Revelation 4 and 5 about our God and how He is worthy. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You have created all things. By Your will they exist and were created." God made everything for His own glory. Isaiah 43, God says this, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." He designed it all to bring glory to His name. So what is God up to in the world? Well, He's over it all because He's before it all. He's the source of it all. His power is so great that nothing can happen unless He allows it or commands it. And our powerful, almighty God is overseeing all things and working through all things for a good purpose. You can trust Him in that. Romans 8:28 is still very true this year and any other year, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God is using whatever is going on for His glory, for our good. We can trust Him. So again, I beg you, these things are not things you never heard before or never considered. But as you face the uncertainty that our days have built into them right now, face it with these things in the forefront of your mind. Think about your God. And when you spend all your time thinking about all the other things that are going on in the world, the things that cause you fear or the things that make you upset, turn from those and think about your great God. The better you know Him, the more you consider Him, the more you hear Him, the stronger you will be to face what you face each day. And ultimately, the more glory you're going to bring to God, which is the whole purpose He made us. Let's bow our heads before the Lord here today. I'm going to ask you before I pray to just pray on your own in your heart right now.